Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, have your way right now. Holy Spirit, speak through me. Touch the lives of this congregation, Lord. Those that they might hear truth and hear nothing else, Father. That you might be glorified. Make me a vessel of honor, Lord. Block out the distractions, Lord. Prepare the heart to receive that which is good. Make the soil fertile, Lord, that it take root. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have not pulled away from the story of love. I think that'll be a recurring theme that will pop up occasionally here and there with the message. The last few weeks, we learned about the marks of love and what true love really was. We studied the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we saw what this example of true love is, because God so loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ was given to us. His only Son was given to us so that we could be rescued and not be separated from God anymore. Because it's sin that separates us from God. And we who have received Jesus have been reconciled back to God. And so Jesus, when he was here though on earth, gave us a charge, and he gave us this great commission. But while he was here and while he was doing his mission on earth, he's on the mountainside, and he says in Matthew chapter 5 verses 13 through 16, he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. See, it's salt and light that he's calling us to be. It's salt and light. We're going to spend time probably just today on salt. What is the purpose of that? Why did he say that? Jesus often talked in metaphors or parables to give us examples that we can hold and cling to understand the power of his word and how it can be life-changing. Life-changing. And this isn't like this hocus-pocus message. You know, there's too much of a prosperity message that comes in the church that just says you come to Jesus and everything will be well. That's not true. All will be well with your soul. Amen. All will be well with your soul. But there's no promise that because you come to Jesus, health and wealth is going to come your way.
That's right.
We're going to see those in hopefully over the next week or two. I pray that your heart be opened to something true here. Because I think as Christians, we can sometimes tend to isolate ourselves from the world. We want to kind of just set ourselves aside, this little community right here, and not reach the world. We get very comfortable within ourselves. We want to submerge ourselves within our church body, and that's it alone, and not get too involved in the world. And part of that would make things easier because the world tempts our flesh. Brother Ed was perfect in saying that, you know, we're a triune body. You know, we have our body itself, then we have a soul and a spirit. And the body itself is something that ever since the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve, and they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, ever since then, that body has been in decay. It's warred. That's a sin that separated us from God. It's passed down from generation to generation, from child to child through birth, from the man through the seed. However, we are not of this world, but we are called to be influencers of it. Jesus said this in John chapter 17 in verses 6 through 19. He said, I have manifested your name, in verse 6, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them. You see, you got to receive his words. You got to receive his truth. And then you can know surely that I came forth from you. See, when you receive the truth, when you receive his words, it's a knowledge. And also you come to know that Jesus was the Son of God. And they believe that you sent me. And so Jesus said, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Are you glorifying Jesus? Are you glorifying Jesus? Now I am no longer in the world. Jesus has gone home to be home with the Father until one day he will return. But these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Jesus is preaching that we may be as one, as Jesus is with the Father, the God. That relationship, that we might be as one, what we might be in unison to this lost and dying world, to reach a world that is lost and dying. And so Jesus says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition. That the scripture might be fulfilled. That's right. It's a reference to Judas. It is a reference to Judas, right? And that the scripture might be fulfilled, that he'd be betrayed by the closest to him, someone whom he dearly loved. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world. And here's the promise that those in Jesus, he says that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And that's what I was talking about, is it's his joy that fills us. That's what allows us to persevere in this life, because things don't always go the way we want them to go. Our life, we have plans that we kind of make in our own mind and say, this is how my life should be. But God has different plans. They are better. There's a way that seems right unto man, and its path is destruction. But God's way is so much. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so Jesus says that my joy be fulfilled in you. And he says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. But here's the point, why I'm saying this in the scripture, because this next verse summarizes it. It says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. So you can't come out of the world. He's not praying to take you out of the world. He said, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So as you're in the world, that you be separate from the world, that it doesn't influence you, right? That he keeps you pure and holy and righteous. So they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So sanctify them by your truth. Your word is the truth. See, the word of God is the truth. And what does it promise say? The truth will set you free. Amen. He who is free indeed in the Father, right? As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And so he's charging you. I'm sending you into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by truth. So as you go in the world, you are on this journey of life. And it's an ongoing process of sanctification to become holier, to be a reflection of Jesus. Right? When you were a baby, you were a baby. When you first came to Jesus Christ, when you first came to this knowledge of the truth, the scales were removed from your eyes, but you were just a babe. You were like a baby, like my son, just a baby. But over time, you start to learn and you start to read and you start to grow amongst the brethren, right? and you become a new person. You become sanctified. You become more and more like him, more and more like Jesus. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, this is just to remind you, because again, to be separate from the world, but you need to be in the world, okay? We have functions that we have to do in this world. Jobs, family, who are lost, loved ones, friends. So Paul writes, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of the world.
That's right.
You would have to be removed to be separate completely from those. Because he's actually referencing those in the church. He goes on and says, but now I've written you to keep not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reveler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. And that's called like the Christian who is a Christian with the masquerade, right? They say I'm a Christian, but they have no example. They have no true testimony. They just said, hey, I'm a Christian, but there's no change in them. There's no true repentance. You can say I believe, even the demons believe and they tremble. Okay? So when you come to Christ, there should be a change. There should be a desire to want to learn more of him. Not of this world, but of him. So Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. When he made that statement to his disciples, and this was long ago, they understood at the time the significance of what he was really saying. It's a little lost today because salt is so prevalent. I mean, we just throw it on the roads. But back then, it was actually very valuable. In fact, Romans considered salt more important than the sun itself. And some Roman soldiers were actually paid with salt. That was part of their wages. So when Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, he was saying, you're valuable. You're important to me. And you're significant because you can make a difference. And that's what I had titled this message as, is Difference Makers for Such a Day as This. Okay? So you can make a difference. He also said, you're the light of the world. So have you ever been in a dark room? Someone turns on a flashlight when you're in that dark room, like Caitlin likes to flip on her nightlight. All of a sudden, it's suddenly bright in the room. The light is not hard to find, is it? Once you're in a dark room, if a light turns on, you can see it. And that's what happens with the gospel. It comes and that light to some who are in darkness, all of a sudden, as the Spirit draws, says, their eyes are opened for the very first time. That's why we sing that song, that wonder song. And so in the same way, a believer lets his or her light shine, and we can make a difference. And I'm not going to talk about light today. So my question is, would you say that the world is improving? Would you say that things are getting better? That things are getting safer? Is it a great place to be, or is it getting worse? It's getting worse, isn't it? Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Would you agree?
Yes.
Things are worse than they were 10 years ago.
Yes.
There's a lot of confirmation of that in Scripture. In 2 Thessalonians, it says in chapter 2, verse 5, it says, don't you remember that I told you about all this when I was with you? And you know what is holding him back, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. He's talking about the Antichrist there. For this lawlessness is already at work.
Right.
This was written. We're talking about times of Jesus. This is right after Paul's writing this. And he says, this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. The Holy Spirit right now is holding it back. Who resides inside you? The Holy Spirit. See, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the third part of the Godhead, so just as the human body is triune, right? There's the body, soul, and spirit. God said, let's make man as an image of us. And so he made man triune because there's the Father, There's the Son and there's the Holy Spirit. And so as Jesus came and died on the cross for us, then he said, as he gave his last charge 40 days after and he ascended to the Father, he said, I'm going to send a comforter to you. And in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit comes down, the third part of the Godhead, and filled us with power.
Hallelujah.
Not power of man,
right,
but power of God to be a difference maker. It's not you and I that are the difference maker. It's the Holy Spirit in us. So that lawlessness is here. The man of lawlessness will be revealed. There's one who is creating the lawlessness. And it's you've heard the name Antichrist, and the Antichrist is a man indwelt with Satan. But the Lord Jesus will kill him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. That's pretty awesome. That's another message some other time. But lawlessness is on the increase, is it not? The world is getting worse every day. It's getting more corrupt. Corruption is all within our government. Evil deeds are getting worse. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold or grow cold. What? Like, can you see that? Does that? Do you guys see that today? When you watch, like, just watch the news. Like, there's not a lot of love in this world. There's artificial love, but there's not true love. That's why we're called to be salt on this earth. So man thinks they are as God, and that goes all the way back to the garden. It goes all the way back to the garden. See, man thinks they can control everything, and they feel like they can bring us into a new world. There's a new world order that can come. And the point is, there's never going to be a utopia here or a peaceful world until Jesus Christ comes and sets his kingdom up.
Hallelujah.
Our job as a Christian to be salt and light is to influence our culture. Each of us have a sphere of influence, do we not? Some may just be a couple of people. Some may have a larger sphere of influence. It could be your neighbor across the street. It could be your immediate family members. We are here till God says it is your time and it is up, or the Son of God returns and calls you home. Right? Calls us all home, right? We're talking about the rapture. But until then, we are to impact the world without being conformed with it. Conform to it. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. See, I charge you. I beseech you. I'm giving you a charge, brethren. It's like a command. And it says, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Which is what? It says your reasonable service. That's a minimum. That's a reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. That's another message in itself, and we're going to have that coming down the road here. Holy Spirit's been awesome to give me messages. So in order to reach those and tell them about the gospel, you have to live it. You have to live it. There's a big difference in a Christian living for Jesus, that we do have faults. It's called the sin nature that we war with, right? But then there's the Christian I've just referenced that puts the mask on just on Sunday, that comes in, you know, says they're a Christian, but then everything else during the week has nothing to do with glorifying Jesus, glorifying the Father. Why is that so important? Because as lawlessness increases, we need authenticity. More now than ever, we need authenticity in this world, because there are those who are looking for it.
That's right.
They're looking for authenticity. See, there's people who don't know what tomorrow brings. They don't even know how they're going to put food on the table. They have no hope for tomorrow. Their only hope is either in themselves. And there's those who have all the things of this world, but they have no hope for them. And when the earth's foundations are shaken, many people experienced some of that back in 08 and 09 when the recession hit in this country. Their trust and their faith were in possessions and the things of this world. And they were found wanting. They were found wanting. We can bring that hope. We can bring that hope. Don't be like the world. Again, John, the beloved John says, do not love the world in 1 John 2:15 through 17, or the things of this world, because if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. See, there's a world system that Satan's created that entices us through our eyes and through our ears. And it puffs us up. But he goes back and he says, and the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. See, if you do the will of the Father, you can abide forever. Talk about eternity. This life here on earth is just this little, like, it's minute. It's minute in case of eternity, right? Eternity is too long to be wrong. Eternity is too long to be wrong.
That's right. Good point.
So what is Jesus talking about with salt? What's he talking about here? Did you know the human body, our bodies contain about 4 ounces of salt? And without enough of it, our muscles actually won't contract. The blood in our body won't circulate. Food won't digest, and the heart won't beat a beat. Without a doubt, salt is an essence of life. And Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. When I played college football, early in the season, it was so hot, and I would sweat so profusely that my body would cramp up, would it not? My calves would turn into rocks in the middle of a game. I would just be so dehydrated, so depleted. It didn't matter. I could drink as much water, try to stay myself hydrated, but I could not handle it. And my body, my calves would just cramp up like in rocks, and it would happen even after a game in the middle of the night. That's the worst thing ever. Cramping up like in the middle of the night, all of a sudden you're just like, ah! You're like, reaching like, so. My trainer actually said, this is what we want you to do. So I would drink pickle juice during the week, and I would add salt to my food, and I would add salt. I would drink a little bit of salt water, and as I would do this, it would help me retain water, and that helped improve my condition so I wouldn't cramp up so early in the season. So salt is vital for the body to function. For me to function on the duty of what I was called to do, I got paid to go to school, to play football. That was the duty. And that was vital for me to perform that task. So also, a little salt goes a long way in adding flavor, doesn't it?
It does.
Think about just a little bit of salt on your food. There was a time when my wife, God bless her, talked me into doing this like detox diet for like 30 days and no salt on anything. And we'd be eating like lettuce wraps with chicken and tilapia and meat, like red meat, really awesome. I love me some red meat. And they're not flavored. The only thing you're just adding a little bit of olive oil, just like a dab of olive oil, just to kind of to season it on the pan, basically. But oh, it was just so awful. It was so awful. It was so bland. The food was just ugh. And worse, that happened over the Super Bowl. So I'm sitting there at my family party with my in-laws, and they're eating chicken wings and potato. If you know me, I love some potato chips. I am a chipmonger. My dad used to hide them from me after church. I'd come by to drop off the equipment when we used to unload all the equipment all the time. And he would hide the chips because he knew that was the first thing I was going for in the cabinet. I'd be looking around. So I love me some chips. And it's just like I'm sitting there during this diet. I'm just going like, oh, like why am I eating this lettuce wrap? And I'm like looking at these awesome food over here. So a little salt adds flavor, doesn't it? Salt also had another vital purpose, which is probably more of what the Lord Jesus had in mind during this time. He said, "You are the salt of the earth." And he meant that all of his disciples, say, "I am a disciple of Jesus Christ." So salt served as a preservative. And so he's saying he was stopping the moral decay in our sinful world. See, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. So those first disciples would have been intimately familiar with this function of salt. Without refrigeration back then, that's a convenience we have nowadays, the fish or the meat that they caught would quickly spoil and rot unless they were packed with salt. Once salted, the fish and meat could safely be stored and then used when needed. So the spiritual health and strength of the Christian is to counteract the corruption that is growing in this world. Christians are the salt, and we inhibit sin's power to destroy lives, because sin destroys lives. That's truth. That is truth. Sin will destroy your life. That's what happened. Adam was created. Did you know this? Adam was created to live forever.
That's right.
When God created man, and then he added woman he created us to live forever. Right. It was sin, because we came to the knowledge of good and evil. We partook of the tree, and we would all have been just as guilty. That's where he said, "Now you will surely die." But thank you, God, for sending his son to give us a way to be reconciled to him, that we might have eternity. So, we are the salt of the earth. We are the preserving factor in this world. So my question is, do you change the dynamic in a room with your friends and family? Do people change around you? Are you the influencer, or are you the one influenced? Because this stepped on my toes. It stepped on my toes. Am I being the one influenced, or am I influencing them? Am I bringing light to the situation, or am I partaking in darkness? Remember, salt stops the spread of corruption or decay. And one other thing salt does, it stimulates thirst. After eating a bag of chips or eating a nice steak that I've salted, you know what I'm talking about, where you get that salt crust? And if you eat something too salty, you get that salt crust in the middle of the night. Really, you know, on your lips. And you need water. You need water. I've been one to eat a whole bag of chips in one sitting. Not very good for my ticker, but I'm like parched after, like, and my tongue hurts, right? But I need something to drink. I need water. I need water, and I need a lot of it. And so the point is, you as a Christian can stimulate thirst for God. Some of you are being stimulated right now for a thirst through praise and worship we did. So your life and testimony can be an example. And some people, not all people, some people will wonder what is different about you. And they may want the same thing that they see in you. So what are you demonstrating?
That's right.
What are you demonstrating? You cannot stimulate others if we are not pure, or if we're being corrupted by the world. If that is the case, then you have lost your saltiness. So you're bland, and you're not even good enough for the dunghill, is actually what the physician Luke said. Jesus, the physician Luke wrote in chapter 14, 34 through 35, says, "Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears, let him hear." Don't be lukewarm. Laodicean church. Another one we'll be studying soon. If you are living holy and seeking after the kingdom, then you have a way of reaching others by his example. And I had a couple of devotionals that really tied this in. And I kind of like it because of the there's no promise of, like, you know, no trials. I mean, actually, Jesus said, if you come in my name, you're going to suffer for my name's sake.
Right.
So So Jesus uses parables to communicate principles of his kingdom of God. And he said to each of his believers, you should have an impact on his or her world as salt has on a food. Right? So what allows a Christian to become salty? Fire. God knows that each believer needs a degree of testing by fire in order for Christ's fragrance to be manifested. So we cannot become salty without this deeper work of the Holy Spirit's fire in our lives. Fire purifies all that is not of Christ. It takes away all the impurities that prevent his nature from being revealed in us. Remember the parable of this, or the story of the silversmith, right? When silver is being created, it's heated, and it's heated up again as the silversmith stirs it, and he looks down. If he doesn't see his reflection in it, he turns up the heat even more. He turns up the fire more to reduce and get rid of the impurities. That's what Jesus is. He is the silversmith. He's turning up the fire, and he's trying to draw you near. There's things that don't go according to your life, but he's trying to draw you closer to him. He's trying to draw you intimately to him. Do you remember the story of Elijah, right? His circumstances, Jezebel speaks into his life, and he just wants to give up. He wants to give up, but then Jesus, you know, the God comes, and he comforts him, and he gives him in a still, small voice. He's beckoning him to call him higher. And then after he does that, and he reconciles Elijah to him, he repurposes him in his life to become a disciple maker of Elisha, right? So you were called. So God has a purpose for you. If you're feeling the fire, he's trying to draw you near. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trial. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. Amen. And may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. That is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. It says, are you a salty Christian? Are you a salty Christian? Awesome. Awesome. Because as a result, if you are salty, then you will be giving praise and glory and honor to the Father through your actions. And I like that because of the fire, right? The Holy Spirit firing up inside of us to create a fragrance. That's what it talked about. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, Paul writes, it says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. You are an overcomer because he overcame the grave.
Amen.
And so in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved, and among those who are being perished. To the one, we are aroma of death leading to life. And to the other, we are aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity. I love that. So you're not peddling. We're not peddling the word of God. In sincerity, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. In sincerity. In sincerity, we come to those who are lost. We are to be salt to those who are lost, adding flavor to them. So the point is that fragrance that we emit, it doesn't mean that all who come and experience that fragrance are going to come to say, yes, I like this. To some people, it's repulsive, right? It's like the person who puts on too much cologne or perfume, right? You're like, wow, you know, like they walk into the room, right? So you know, some people are not going to receive that fragrance. Others will. They'll be drawn to it. They'll be drawn to it. So my question is, are you salty? You don't have to answer the question now, but if you're not, ask the Lord to refine you so that you can be a salt to a world that has lost its flavor. So you can preserve that which is good in this world, which is of him. If you want to be salty. If you want to be that influencer, if you want to be a difference maker, you got to be surrendered.
Yes.
You got to be surrendered.
Preach it.
You got to give your life fully to Him.
Self is dead.
You die to self and you surrender. And God says, I will send the Comforter to you. Because greater things that I have done, you will do. By my power that I'm sending, the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit. This person, this third person of the Godhead. It's awesome. Resides in you.
Yes.
And He gives you a new heart.
Yes.
And a new passion and a new desire to just to reach those. To reach those who are lost. You and I have something that is different. It's different than any other religion teaches.
Amen.
See, other religions teach that you can work your way into heaven. You can work your way. You can do things that are good. Our God says, and the Bible says, all of our works of righteousness are as filthy rags. We're all sinners. We're all guilty. We're all like Judas who kissed Jesus until we've accepted Him. Until we've accepted Him. Let's bow our heads. There's some of you who maybe listened to this message today and your heart is being drawn. And it's saying, I haven't been that example. I haven't been able to influence. I've been the one being influenced. All it takes is repentance to go back to Him and give it and do your first love over again. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to spend an eternity with Him, to be changed forevermore, your life won't be the same, I promise you that. But you will have a surety of this life and the life to come that is in Him. If that's you, raise your hand. Because He loves you. He says, I'm with you always and to the ends of the earth. I'll never forsake you. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open that door, I will come in and have dinner with you. Is He knocking on your heart right now? If that's you, just say, that's me. Raise your hand. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name, and I thank You, Father. I thank You for Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. I thank You for this message that we might just add some flavor to this world, Lord. Our sphere of influence, those who we come in contact with, Lord, that we might be the influencer by the power of Your Holy Spirit. You commissioned us to go out into the world to speak the gospel, to share the gospel. Let us do that and be steadfast, Father. Be with us as we go our separate ways until we come together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.